Welcome back here to X's and Bros on the Michigan Sports Network. Danica Haitland, Brian Elke, Anthony Bellino, all joining you, joining us now as he does on Tuesdays to talk all kinds of sports. I mean, this guy, he was a graduate of Concordia, right? He's a Michigan man. He was born in Michigan. He's a graduate assistant of John Beilein, a John Beilein disciple there. He's now an assistant coach at Ohio University for the Bobcats men's basketball team. His name's Kyle Barlow. Find him on Twitter at KyleBarlow4. Send your recruit tapes there. Coach Barlow, my friend, how are you? A victory Tuesday after a victory Monday after a victory Sunday in the game. The maize and blue take down the Buckeyes. How are you, my friend?
I'll tell you what. I don't know if I can match your energy, but I'm going to try. Your energy was the energy that Michigan brought into Michigan Stadium as they took on the hated rivals, the Buckeyes of Ohio State.
Gus Johnson voice. Oh, I love it.
Yes. Oh, best goes. You caught right on, but. You know, I do got to address something you said in the intro, titles. You said coming to me, all I could think about was Akon noticing you, noticing me. You know what I'm saying? Like that, you whatever you said just triggered that. But, you know, Gus Johnson, the Buckeyes, snow coming down. Who could have scripted it any better than that? And you know what? Michigan just said, I'm sick of losing. I'm sick of it. You know, it's about time. Every dog has his day. Well, we're about to have ours. We're going to do it, or we're going to die trying. Some people just think that because they're standing on third base means they hit a triple when they have it. You know what I'm saying? You catch what I'm putting down?
The Ohio State Buckeyes. Touchdown Buckeyes. I love him. I had the volume up, and they were telling me, like, hey, we can't – you got to turn the – the DJ's looking at me like, can you turn the volume down just a little bit? I was like, yeah, that's fine. Because I was trying to listen. I'm working. I'm watching the game at the same time. I did the rewatch on Sunday, and I'm telling you, I knew the outcome of the game, and I was stressed out the entire time. I'm like, why does no Ohio State Buckeye drop the football? I mean, please, for the love of God, just can you not catch it one time? But the way that Michigan came out in that football game, the way they responded after the interception from Cade, I was like, Cade, you can't throw that pass. I was having all these emotions.
All the momentum. Oh. They have all the momentum. Joel Klatt, you said you weren't listening. Joel Klatt said, I would take a shot right before he threw that pick, literally the play before, and I was screaming at my TV. You have all the momentum. They can't stop you right now. Run the ball right down their throats like they did the entire game. But no, you don't take a shot there. You don't have to. You have all the momentum.
I didn't get it. It made me nervous. It made me, you know, but Cade did a great job. There was a play late in the game where he's motioning to his guys to get up to the line of scrimmage and get set. I love the fact that he bounced back, that team bounced back after that, because you never know when a pick is thrown, the defense responded. Oh, the defense. I mean, Aiden Hutchison. Mount Rushmore.
Can we talk about
Mount Rushmore?
CJ Stroud in the shotgun. Oh, and he goes down. Look who it is. It's Aiden Hutchinson. He had three of them. Yeah, and Bellino, I'll tell you what, man. Like, I saw the clip that you posted on Twitter yesterday. I saw that clip live where he just truck-sticked my man. And it's number 75. I forget his name now. It's escaping me. But he was a four-star recruit, fifth-year senior. It wasn't like he was doing that against the offensive line of, I don't know, say Northwest Ohio or somebody like that. No offense to the Racers, but it wasn't like he was doing that to some bum. I mean, he truck-sticked my man. And I made it the point to watch the entire game on defense, and I would just watch Aiden Hutchinson. There was this point, Bellino, it was the last play of the third quarter. I don't know if you caught it. So Ohio State gets to the line. Right, you know how they do that, and they do the fake clap thing.
Yes.
And then they look to the sideline. Like,
yes.
We've all seen it. So, yeah. And Hutchinson looks to Michigan sideline, looks to Ohio State sideline. I swear to God, like, he stole the call. I haven't seen this posted anywhere. He stole the call, motioned for a blitz, and both safeties came with him in a blitz in, like, 2 seconds time and stuffed the run. That's first round, first overall pick material. I don't care if the Oregon defensive end, I forget his name, but I don't care if he's more athletic, a better prospect. I'll take IQ, motor, and if athleticism is similar, I'm going to take IQ and motor. And this kid's got it, man.
Watching that play, right? And I didn't. I was like, okay, you know, he's doing the, he's doing like a choo choo train almost, right? Choo choo.
Yeah,
or you like, yep. Or you want to like a truck driver, or you know, give him the double honk. Yep. But then I was like, wait a minute, maybe signaling the DJ, you got to pump it up, don't you know? Pump it up. I was, oh baby, come bring the safeties. Let's pump it up. I'm probably over the top right now. It's probably a little much. Oh, people man. Probably hate me, and I was told, you know, radio this week's going to be insufferable by Michigan fans. And it's, I don't think people understand that the eight straight losses and the year off, but the eight straight losses and the, you know, nothing, no success in 9 years, it made all of this that much sweeter, right? To be able to be able to take the constant bludgeoning on social media and the phone calls into the studio and Ohio State fans coming at me in public, no matter where I would see them at what game I was working, you know, and people talking about it. And you know how bad everybody wanted this victory, and to see some of the reaction from the fans and how much they cared about it. It's kind of crazy, because working in sports, I've tried to separate myself and my fandom, right? It's been easier for me to digest Sundays. It's been easier for me to digest Saturdays and not getting overly emotionally invested into a team to only feel the heartbreak at the end. So for me, it was easier to kind of displace myself. And I kind of look back, and now that I'm talking about all this out loud, maybe that's where I find myself in other circumstances in my life. And I'm like, maybe you're onto something. I'm my own psychologist. Anyway, outside of all that, it does kind of feel like this giant weight has been lifted off of all of our shoulders. And I can't imagine what that's like from a head coach perspective.
Oh man. And I'm sure it is. And I'll tell you what, now you're looking forward, you know, and they say, why not us? And I know that's kind of a sports trope, a mantra, but it's absolutely true. Like, is assuming like Michigan has to take care of business against Iowa. You should be the favorite. Iowa plays smash mouth football, so they're not going to roll over for you. It's going to be a game that both Kirk Ferentz and Jim Harbaugh love, but everybody else hates. It's that brand of football, right? But take care of business. But if they take care of business, Bellino, I'm looking at the rest of the teams left. And Michigan, I'll tell you what, they don't want to play Michigan. Like, none of those teams want to. And Georgia's been the best team in the country since week one. But you know what Georgia does, Bellino? They play defense and they keep you in the game. You know why? Because they don't have an explosive offense like we've seen in the past in the college football playoff. So they want to stop the run. Well, you know what? So does Michigan. And Michigan wants to run the ball. So it's like they'll keep you in the game in a 1-2 possession game. You know the team I don't see in the college football playoff is the Tua-led Alabama team, is the Trevor Lawrence-led Clemson team, is the Joe Burrow-led LSU team, where it's like they could hang 60 on you in a hurry. I don't see any of those teams, Bellino. I think this is a perfect storm of timing for Michigan and Michigan fans to say, look here, we need to win the Big Ten championship and beat Iowa if you're Michigan. And then at that point, I mean, you look at the scenarios and you're looking at most likely you're playing Cincinnati in the first round. I mean, they're coming off of wins against SMU and Navy and Tulsa. Like, that don't scare me, Bellino. I don't know about you, but I think this could just be, if we win this week, and I mean we, because we're playing in this game against in Indianapolis against Iowa, you and me too, Bellino, going up top, we're playing this game. And if they win that game, man, I'm telling you, it's lining up, bro.
All right, I don't know how I'm the one in this position to be giving you the coach speak, but can we just take it one game at a time? Will you settle down with all your scenarios? All we got to do is manage the task in front of us, and that's having a really good Tuesday after having a really good Monday. Are we getting 1% better today? That's the question. You can't worry about tomorrow. We just got to focus on ourselves and worry about today. But yeah, I'm very nervous about the Big Ten championship game, and I do kind of feel, you know, Iowa, you know, 10.5-point favorites. Everybody's talking about that. I think you got to go into that Iowa game with the iron fist, and you got to know that this is going to be a miserable four quarters for Kirk Ferentz and company. Like, quarterback's going to be running for his life. Best of luck to you. You know, Nebraska game, a good game. Shout out to Nebraska and Scott Frost. They are like a possession away each week from being a very good football team, and it just didn't work out for them, but they're getting close. I think that you really dial in on Iowa. And then I can't believe that we are at this point, right? Because 7.5 wins, I took the over. But, I mean, I have a Michigan football helmet on my desk right now, for God's sakes. Of course I took the over.
Hey, don't go spending all that money in one place, you know. Don't go buy some fancy record player or anything.
Hey, you know what? And look, they said four and a half for Michigan State. QMC Hammer. Hammer time on that, too. Like, and I... And it's weird, right? Because I'm sitting here and I know that a large portion of our listenership is, you know, in the middle of the state, west side of the state. You know, it's not all in the Southeast, and not everybody in the Southeast is a fan of Ann Arbor. Some folks tend to lean towards East Lansing. I always try to keep that in the back of my head when doing the show, because I think it's important for both. And I try to, you know, view myself on this straightened path of honest and fair. And I'm telling you, man, like, you said it and I've been thinking it, and I don't want to say it out loud, but it does kind of feel like things are aligning. And to be able to imagine that in this 1 year, you could check off all of these boxes. No more jokes about trips to Indy. No more jokes about you can't beat your rival in Ohio State, right? No more jokes about a Big Ten championship or an East division. Like, no more of that. And if you can take care of Iowa and you can handle your business and go to the college football playoff, there's your playoff appearance. If you win a game, there's your natty appearance. Like, it's all there, and you can almost taste it. And for Michigan fans, like, they've been so starved. And to a certain extent, we've been probably a little egotistical. Probably, I always refer to us as delusional, because we think that we are Alabama, but we haven't been. And it's a really good time. It's a good celebration for Jim Harbaugh and for this program.
Yeah, and it's like, you look at it, you can't win the game if you don't play in it. And this is the first Big Ten championship game that Michigan's been in since they instituted the Big Ten championship game, East versus West, and first one since 2004 that they have a chance to win. But you can't win the Big Ten championship unless you're playing in Indianapolis. And Michigan hasn't done that thus far since the inaugural game. You can't win the national championship unless you're playing for the national championship. You have to get yourself into that game. Just like you can't get a royal flush if you're not keeping the Jack of Diamonds, man. Like, it all comes together. And, you know, and Michigan's put themselves in this position. And, you know, and I don't know about you. You probably more than me, because you're on the radio and this is what you do for a living. I've never cared about the college football playoff ranking. I've never cared about the what seed versus what seed versus what seed. It's never really mattered to me. But then I realized, because I don't care about any teams in it. So now that I feel myself running away with it, because I think that Michigan actually does have a chance. And now I'm playing through the scenarios in my brain. Like, if Georgia beats Alabama, Alabama's out, Michigan moves to 2. Cincy's 3, and then you've got Notre Dame or Oklahoma State sneaking to 4. So now you're playing Cincy in the first round, and it's like, shoot, all you need to do is just get there. Like, just get to that game, and I feel pretty good. So, yeah, man, I'm with you. It's tough to look ahead, and it goes against your nature, but, man, is it fun right now. And after thoroughly dominating Ohio State, like, they ran the ball right down their throats. You knew who the better team was from the first second of that game. If they played tomorrow, Michigan would beat them tomorrow. If they played next week, Michigan would beat them next week. That's how much they dominated them in that game.
And it was impressive, because Ohio State, you know, even during the rewatch, I was nervous, right? And it was a 14-13 game going into the tunnel. And there were a couple of things that happened, one of which was the play in which 26 rips the helmet off and got hurdled by Hassan Haskins, right?
Yeah.
And they flagged
you, bro.
Well, they flagged the initial play on the ripping of the helmet. I'm good with that, right? Okay, that's fine. But then, you know, guys got a little mouthy and they got a little physical, and they let that kind of just play itself out. And I like the fact that the officials called it that way. The teams went in the tunnel and they got a little mouthy with each other. And I like that the refs kind of allowed that to happen and allowed some of the festering of aggression to play itself out on the football field. And we didn't have to worry about a call going one way or the other, right? It didn't feel like the referees were a story in this one. And I'm just really thankful for that. Because
can I make one comment on that?
Yeah,
can
absolutely.
I make one comment? Mm-hmm. I think Michigan and Ohio State, after the initial ripping of the helmet, I think they've been coached on this thing, and maybe I'm taking this to an extreme.
I don't know.
But if you notice, when they run up to confront him, everybody kept their arms at their sides.
Yep.
There's no lifting the arms to hit him in the head. I think that's coached. I think that's on purpose, man. Because if you're talking emotions, like, your emotions will get the best of you. Every single one of them, they didn't throw their headbutts. They locked a face mask. They didn't throw a headbutt. They didn't throw their hands at anybody else. I think that's smart, because as soon as you do that, you're going to flag. I think this was coached. I think they said, this is how you confront somebody and not get flagged.
Yeah, no, the restraint shown. I mean, and I love the quickness of the offensive line. I mean, they were having such a great day. You could tell they were playing with an attitude. All five of those guys up front just doing a hell of a job. And the way that they rushed immediately to their teammate's side, I think that says a lot about the camaraderie, a lot about the love you have for one another in the game of football, in all competitive sports, but especially in football, because the contact contact is there, right? It's a sport of aggression. It's a sport that's built on violence. And there is a certain element of camaraderie and brotherhood that is about it. You know, that's why a lot of teams, you know, go through Navy SEAL training. They have military men come and speak to them, because there's a certain element of mental warfare taking place out there. It's not the same as being on the battlefield, but it's your own battlefield, right? And so,
no, but it's like, it's when things get tough, natural human instinct is to be selfish and think about yourself. How the fight or flight, how do I survive? Mm-hmm. But the whole thing with Navy SEALs and in a team setting and football and basketball and whatever sport, team sport, is if you think about your teammate, then you're automatically going to raise your level to help him get out of it, which helps you get out of it. It's a psychology thing that's been proven over and over again. If you're thinking about yourself, you're going to have a pity party and you're probably going to die. But if you think about your teammate, if you think about your squad mate, you're gonna rise above, because you're trying to help them and you're united for one cause. So it's very intentional, man.
It is. And the restraint shown, I think you're right. I think that is a coaching point of how to handle your emotions. Yep. And that's a lot of life. I mean, how many people get caught up in bad situations because they can't handle when they start to feel angry? They can't handle when they start to feel pain, right? And there's certain things that trigger individuals. And, you know, look at Isaiah Stewart. He lost it, right? He hit the tipping point and he was getting after it. And it's like, you know, you gotta learn to kind of hold some of that in. And you could see it in day-to-day life too, where, you know, people act out because of something that happened and then unfortunate circumstances take place from there. But I mean, all in all, I mean, we're way off the topic of football, but I absolutely love it, because it's about sports. Absolutely. It's about competition. And that's one thing that this rivalry hadn't been in the most recent games, was competitive. And this was competitive. And my last one here for you, what do you believe this does for Michigan football moving forward now when they hit the recruiting trail, right? I think that Jim Harbaugh said it, and I thought it immediately after the game, like, Now not only do you say you can beat them, but you've proven everybody you can beat them. You can manhandle them. This is a launch point for this program.
Yeah, I don't know if I buy into that as much as maybe some other people do, or maybe the facade that Jim Harbaugh is saying that under. I think that was a building block for the program in general. But when you talk about recruiting, Michigan's been a top 15 team in the country for the last 20 years, no matter who the head coach was. Now, there's a big difference between number 14 and number 2 recruiting class in the country. I get it, but I don't know if this, you know, I don't know if this game in particular moves the needle like some people say it is. You know, if you look at Michigan, had a guy, the number 2 safety in the class at the game, said he loved it. The atmosphere is awesome, and he commits to Clemson. Like, so I don't know if I buy into it that much. I do know this, though. And one thing, if it credits the game that Michigan played, you left it out of the referee's hands. We talk about the referees. We weren't talking about a questionable PI call. We weren't talking about a short fourth and short or short of the first down. We weren't talking about any of that. Michigan thoroughly beat Ohio State because they were the better football team. And that's what national championship contenders do. They don't complain about a spot. They don't complain about a PI. They don't complain about the last 2 minutes and the blah, 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 blah. Like, that is what I think Harbaugh means, or that's what I interpreted him to mean, as a building block, and this is just the first step. Because, you know what, we're not leaving in the ref's hands. We're not leaving it in a fluky play. We're going to thoroughly and sound you, beat you playing the football that we want to play.
Knock him out. Don't ever let it go to the judges' scorecards. Finish the fight with your hands. He is Kyle Barlow, the coach. Find him on Twitter, KyleBarlow4, a Michigan man, a coach in Ohio. By the way, you come to the Glass City on Craft Beer Night, just saying, so I'll see you there.
Hey, yo, give me a Great Lakes lager. Let me get a Christmas ale. See ya.